I am Planta on the line. This is the commentary.ca. Mark Hasiuk is on the line now, the Vancouver Courier columnist, is a regular reader of mine. He writes with a verve and clarity that's refreshing. He's been described by readers of his as, quote, a right-wing blowhard, insipid, a joke, acting like a petulant little boy with issues, full of rage, full of anger and rage. Read the Courier column Wednesdays and on his website, markhasiuk.com. Please welcome to the Planta Online program, Mark Hasiuk. Good morning, Mr. Hasiuk.
Wow, Joe, that was a great introduction. You must be reading my online fan mail.
Yeah. What do you make of all the stuff that you're hearing from your readers?
Well, listen, one of the great things about our paper, the Vancouver Courier, the oldest community newspaper in the country, that's a little plug for the paper, it's been around Vancouver for over 100 years, is that our readers really take ownership of their paper, and we have a dedicated readership, widely read around the city, and when we write, not just myself, other people here, even reporters, just straight reporters who are doing news stories, when we write about any issue in the city, we always hear about it, and that's one of the really great things about our paper. It's a community paper in the great tradition of community papers.
And it's a paper that I was just in preparing for you coming on today. I was just thinking of if someone asked me what papers I read, the Courier wouldn't come to the top of the list. But I read it more often than the other papers. I'm thinking because it's a bit, it comes to the house twice a week, and you do read it cover to cover. At least I do.
Yeah, we hear that all the time. I mean, we are the paper of record here in Vancouver. As far if you want to know what's going on at City Hall, School Board, Park Board, what's going on in your community, I mean, you pick up the Courier for sure.
Yeah. You're not originally from here, I understand.
No, I'm from back east. I'm from Halifax County, what used to be called Halifax County. They've amalgamated since, a little town called Waverly. And but I've, like many people, I've migrated west, and I just love my adopted city, that's for sure.
What brought you to Vancouver?
Well, my first taste of being out west after I graduated high school, I went to Lake Louise to snowboard and just to live on the hill like a bum. And when I got things together, I realized I couldn't do that forever. And eventually I came here because I had some friends and I was looking to go to school. And Langara College has a very well-thought-of journalism program. And I was able to get in there, and I've been working in Vancouver ever since. After a quick stint, I worked for Black Press, and I worked for a few papers up north, but I've been in Vancouver most of my my journalistic career anyway.
Yeah. How many years has that been?
Not that long. I've been in journalism now for a little more than 5 years, I guess. Yeah.
You had a great piece, I can't remember when this was, I guess it was earlier this year, about you'd given up a bachelor pad.
Oh yeah,
and you wanted a one bedroom, I guess.
I did.
And this search for looking, the search for a new place, and I just found it fascinating because it's a great insight into this city, and living in the city.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thanks, Joe. I appreciate that. It was a fun column to write because not often do I write about myself, and like all writers, I have a huge ego, so anytime I can get myself into my column, it's fun. But yeah, I think it really was a good insight into the housing market in Vancouver, and how, pretty soon we're all going to be pushed out into the suburbs unless you're making, $150,000 a year. It's tough to find affordable housing, and I'm not breaking any news here. But that was my experience, a little slice of my experience anyway. And to put your mind at ease, Joe, I did find a nice one-bedroom apartment, and I'm happy.
Yeah. At least you didn't have to move to Surrey, I think. That was what you said, yeah.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. That would have been a nightmare.
The view of you being a rabid right-winger, what do you make of that?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure what to make of that. I don't consider myself a rabid right-winger. I don't put that on my business card. Those terms, I really don't know what they mean anymore, if I ever knew what they mean. You hear the term, I think a lot of people get that vernacular, that lexicon from U.S. Television. A lot of us watch U.S. TV to get our news now, and those type of kind of divisive terms that kind of boil things down into a real simplified, you know, you're either on the left or the right of something, or you're a liberal or conservative. That's really creeped into our conscience here, and I think they're used more often, and I don't think that they're really helpful in debate. In my column, I never use those terms. I never label people as liberal or conservative or right-wing or left-wing. I'm sure that I'm like most people. I would veer to the left on some things, and some things I'd veer to the right. I think you might see that criticism, or at least observation of my column, simply because there aren't too many people that would take some of the stances that I do, writing in Vancouver. So that's might be where it comes from. But
and how do you view your position as a columnist at the Courier? I mean, you talked about that we don't have writers like this, columnists like this in our papers. Is that your goal, to be one of those people that are perhaps different than what we've been accustomed to?
Well, I don't know if it was my original goal, but I think it's listen, I'm not a household name by any stretch of the imagination, but I think it's helped me carve out a bit of a niche, because it is unusual. People do, I get that comment a lot. You know, a lot of the emails that I get, you know, I get a lot of emails that are against stuff that I write, that oppose stuff that I write, but I also get a lot of stuff, not even from people who necessarily agree with me, but say that they're happy that, you know, issues are being written about in, you know, maybe a different way than might be a uniform to speak. And I don't want to be too hard on the journalistic landscape in Vancouver, but I certainly think I have a different take on certain things, and people appreciate that.
Growing up and now, who are some of the journalists you admired?
That's a good question. My favorite journalist is, he works here at the Courier, Mike Howell, and he's just a straight-up reporter. I think he's one of the best City Hall reporters in town.
He is, isn't he? Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. And we have a great staff here. Let me think now. Who else? I always liked reading Hunter S. Thompson. He was the first person that I really thought, wow, this is kind of a cool way that, it wasn't a dry journalism, and you know, he wrote a lot of fiction in his journalism as well, but he was a very interesting read. Maclean's Magazine has a lot of good writers now. A lot of great writers out there.
We first talked about you on the program here when Jamie Lee Hamilton was on,
And
she'd taken exception to some of the columns you'd written over prostitution.
Mm-hmm.
She claimed at the time that you had a position on it, yet you were purporting to be a reporter about the story. Now, I seem to recall that you'd written all this stuff about this forum that you'd attended as a columnist. Is that right?
Yes. I've been a columnist here for a couple of years now. So anything that she would have been talking about, that would have been as a columnist, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what do you make of it? I mean, this issue, I mean, this has gotten a lot of discussion in your paper, in your column. You've written at least a couple columns on it.
Yeah.
People on the internet have been talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you on prostitution?
Well, you're right, I have been following this issue closely, mainly because I think it's a very underreported issue in our city. Everybody knows that prostitution is a big problem, especially in the downtown east side. It's it's the end result of a lot of things. People who are addicted to drugs, people who are abused, come from just terrible situations, end up unfortunately selling themselves on the street. And the root causes of that, I think, deserve, you know, to be reported. There's also the growing issue of human trafficking, which according to many law enforcement agencies around the world is the fastest growing criminal enterprise in the world. We have in Vancouver, and this is no surprise to anybody, we have essentially legalized brothels. They call them health enhancement centers at City Hall. These places pay business license fees to City Hall, and they operate as brothels, largely populated by Asian immigrants, many who are kind of duped into coming here and end up working in these places. So it's a huge issue in our city, and there's a growing movement, of people who normally wouldn't be allied with each other. You have church groups, you have feminist groups, you have people from all different parties, cuts right across the political spectrum, who want something to be done, because ultimately it's the women who are suffering, and we're going to see a lot more in about this issue, I'm sure.
And the effect of that, or pardon me, the Olympics effect on that is what?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a hard question for me to answer.
It just seems to be related to one another. How, I don't know.
Yeah. Listen, there's a, the foremost expert in my mind, and in a lot of people's minds, about human trafficking is a man named Benjamin Perrin. He's a law prof, a law professor out at UBC. And he's right now, I know Benny's writing a book on human trafficking. When I asked him that exact question, when I asked him how will the Olympics affect the prostitution industry here in Vancouver, he said it may not make it worse, or it may not, it will make an existing problem a little worse. So we already have human trafficking. We already have, and human trafficking, it sounds like a very exotic term, but basically it's pimping. It's when pimps are able to, move women around into brothels, into these legalized brothels, into houses, and, live off the avails of prostitution. So will there be a spike? I mean, there are a lot of groups that are preparing for that there will be a spike in human trafficking, that prostitution will kind of go off the charts, because there have been studies done on other major events, other Olympics, World Cups of soccer in Germany, for instance, where there was a huge boom, where you had a lot of pimps bringing in prostitutes for these events. So, that remains to be seen, but a lot of the experts say we should expect something.
And the Olympics, what do you expect in general? Will it change Vancouver much, do you think, or has it?
Well, it certainly has changed Vancouver. I mean, there's no question about that. We have editorial meetings here at the Courier, and because we don't have a sports section per se, we're more of a community and politics type paper. We're discussing how we're going to cover the Olympics, and we're expecting, like other people, for there to be mass protests. I don't think that's going to be a big surprise to anyone. How those all shake down, how these, how VANOC and the RCMP and the military deal with all of this stuff, I think is going to be very interesting to watch. In general, how the city handles, more than 1 million people visiting in a 2-week period, how our infrastructure holds up, how businesses and residents deal with it. It's certainly going to be an interesting time, that's for sure.
Do you foresee chaos? Not just protests and the sort, but I'm just talking about the traffic and gridlock and all that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, as far as the traffic goes, I mean, yeah, of course there's going to be traffic. There's going to be a million more people here. And even though you hear a lot of local residents saying they're going to flee the Olympics, they're going to try to take some time off and get out of the town, there's just no getting around it. When you have that many people here, there's going to be gridlock, there's going to be crowds. That's just the nature of the event. As far as chaos goes, that remains to be seen. It's really the big question, what type of numbers are going to show up to protest? I mean, I remember when I, over a year ago now, I was doing a story about protests that were happening, anti-Olympic protests that were happening then. This was about a year and a half ago. And I was talking to some of these fellas, that kind of the usual suspects that are always at these events protesting. And, they were dropping some pretty dire hints that they were trying to mobilize, all of North America, all the protesters around the continent, and that could just be them, blowharding and trying to fearmonger. But we'll see what happens.
And covering politics in this city, I mean, do you do a lot? You do a lot of that in the column, right?
Yeah. My mandate as a columnist here at the Courier is pretty much to keep it local. I don't cover provincial politics. I don't go into national politics at all. I mainly cover, you know, local issues, cultural issues, and City Hall. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you find that people come up to you and say, "Well, there's a vacuum here. There's a gap in terms of what's being covered," and do you respond to that by writing about it? How does that work?
Well, listen, that's a huge question, isn't it? I mean, we're like I said, we're the paper of record for Vancouver, but we only come out twice a week, and we have a very small newsroom relative to other big papers. You know, the coverage given to City Hall, the Vancouver Sun, and local television and radio seems to be lacking. I think everybody can agree with that. And, you know, the industry is in kind of a state of flux right now. It's interesting that, you know, in a huge city like Vancouver, there really is only one daily. I mean, the Vancouver province is doesn't do that much at City Hall at all, so you basically only have one daily newspaper covering local issues on a daily basis, where in other big metropolitan centers around North America, you'd have a lot more competition. So that definitely is a concern.
Do you find that the Internet is taking up some of that slack? I mean, we see, just in terms of political coverage, we're seeing a lot of websites, you know, like City Caucus and the Jonathan Ross deal. I can't even remember the name now.
Yeah. Well, no, I don't think so. I mean, though there are those websites, and there's Francis Buell's website and a couple others, but the City Hall is not covered to the extent that it should. And I have to tell you, when I hear from city councilors, if they're complaining to me in person or if I hear them complaining about what they perceive to be negative coverage, I just have to laugh because... You know, who knows how many things they're getting away with up there. They got it pretty easy.
Mark, I really appreciate you doing this. As you know, I've been a long fan of your work. And best of the season. Happy Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Joe. Thanks for having me on.
You're very welcome. The website for more is markhasiak.com. Mark Hasiak, the Vancouver Courier columnist on the line. In Vancouver, I'm Joseph Plana.